This is the story of you, the story that has shaped your day or maybe the trajectory of your life. Your story becomes our story. It makes up the tapestry that connects all of our lives, a global oneness. Because without you, there is no me, and no me without you. Welcome to My Spoken Truth. I'm your host, Donna Politis. Welcome, everybody, to episode one of My Spoken Truth. I'm Donna Politis, your host, and I am so thrilled to be bringing you this project. It is truly a labor of love on my part to be creating this podcast for you and to bring you a whole bunch of special guests that have touched my life either directly or indirectly with their own truth. They live their purpose. They live with a divine guidance that allows them to serve others and create opportunities for growth, both for themselves and for everyone and everyone's lives that they touch through their work. Every week, I'll bring you a new guest with different ideas on living our lives in a wholesome, balanced, and healthy way. And my first guest for episode one is Shamin Sadik. Shamin is an international leadership trainer with her business, Anjali Leadership. And Shamin also does power circles for kids. And she'll tell us more about that in our conversation today.
So I didn't hesitate, without a doubt, that Shamin would be my first guest on this show. And part of that story comes from just 1 month ago in October. Shamin asked me to be on her radio show, Stories from the Heart of Leadership, on Voice America, the Empowerment Channel. And I got to speak about my truth on that show. After that show, I left that phone call so buzzed, so alive, and full of purpose. And through that experience, My Spoken Truth was born. And this has been a collaboration with a very dear friend of mine who has helped me create this concept for a podcast, and what you will see is even more to come from My Spoken Truth. So I want to welcome with really open arms Shamin Sadik to our very first episode one podcast, and I will let you, Shamin, tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself and why you're here, why I called you here today.
Thank you so much, Donna. I'm so delighted to be part of this and so honored that I'm your first guest. The time that we spent together on the radio show was very expansive for me as well. And what I've been noticing is that when I'm with other humans connecting at a deeper level, you know, there's a superficial level that we can be with each other at, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there's something about these deeper conversations and this deeper connection that makes me feel so expanded and alive. So I left that call feeling that way too. And I leave most of our interactions feeling that way as well. And when we have the shorter ones, I always feel like, oh, a little bit bereft. But it's just a beautiful connection that I believe humans can have with each other. And so when you say, you know, tell us more about what you're doing, I think that's what I'm up to. Is I'm up to fostering more communication and connection between humans. That's sort of the bigger, if I was to look at it from the biggest picture vantage point, that would be what I'm up to.
Amazing. So you've got a business called Anjali Leadership. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes. Well, I started my practice in leadership consulting and executive coaching back when my kids were very small. So about 8-9 years ago now, it seems like it was just yesterday, and primarily working with organizational leaders across Canada and the U.S., and I have really enjoyed building a practice of working with these people. So what originally began as leadership consulting is continuing to evolve and morph, And essentially the work that I do this at this point in my life falls into three categories. One, coaching leaders in organizations. Two, teaching, training, certifying, and mentoring other professionals who do the same work that I do. And third, I work with kids. The new frontier for me is I'm beginning to work with elementary school age children, doing a leadership program that I call Power Circles with them. And it keeps me busy. I spend a lot of time in the U.S. working, a lot of time, more clients now in Canada as well. And I just feel very blessed to have created a practice out of what I love, working with humans in all these different contexts and being able to actually maintain and sustain my lifestyle and myself and my kids through that practice. It's just a huge blessing.
Amazing. So when we were chatting right before I pressed record today, you said the Power Circles program is the evolution of your life purpose. And it gives me chills again and goosebumps, because I think a lot of people are searching for life purpose. Mm-hmm. I know in my yoga teachings, when I lead a class, I start off that class each time, each and every time, with sankalpa or intention setting. Mm-hmm. And I ask my clients to dive deep into their heart, into their spirit, their soul, and find out or call upon what is that purpose? What is it that is waking them up in the morning? What is it that's giving them drive? And sometimes people can pinpoint it exactly. And many times I have people coming up to me after class and saying, well, Donna, I don't really know what that purpose is, or I don't know how to find it. Or the last time I felt that spark, I was 6 or 8 or 12 or 16, and they don't know how to find it now. So when you talk about evolution, this is the evolution of your life purpose. That is huge. That's massive. And you went from training high corporate executives to the evolution of your life purpose being mentoring and being with kids. I need to know more about that. So what is Power Circles? How is this defining your life purpose? I need to know more.
Okay. Well, it might be helpful if I actually trace back a little bit. As you were talking, I was sort of like going back through my timeline, because you said that people sometimes don't know what their life purpose is or don't even know how to find it. And I would have put myself in that camp too. If you had said the word life purpose or the phrase life purpose to me 13 years ago, I wouldn't have had a clue what you were talking about. And so it was actually at that time, I had one child, he was 1 year old. I had gone back to work after my maternity leave. And I wondered why every day was so devoid of joy at work. And that became a huge problem for me. I had so much joy at home with my child, but so little joy at work. I couldn't believe how joyless it was there. And the more I felt that, the more upsetting that became. I began to search for the joy. I said, okay, well, if there isn't any joy here, perhaps there's something I need to do to find more joy. So I joined the choir at work and loved that. I loved singing. I loved the camaraderie of the choir. But at Christmas time, that was over. So, and then it was like, what now? What do I do now? So I began to ask myself some questions about that. That thing that was missing was joy. And I began to search for it in my work. I said, okay, if I was doing work that felt like I was making a difference to people, that would probably give me some more joy. I feel a little bit more juice around that. What I was doing was internal service provider kind of role, very business oriented, very technically oriented. It just really didn't feel like my direct work was directly impacting any other human being in a meaningful and tangible way. And I knew that that's what I wanted to do. I didn't know what it would look like and I didn't know how it would unfold, but I knew I would know what it felt like when I was doing it. And so I searched for other roles, and I actually took a policy analysis role working on the children with autism file, which was a big file for the provincial government at that time. And that was my employer, the OPS. I thought, well, here I will make a difference on the lives of children who have autism. That is the kind of joy, I think, and purpose that I want to fulfill. and cultivate is to feel like I'm helping someone. So I went to that role, and to my utter disappointment, there was nothing about it that felt that way. It was unfortunately completely political. It was all about serving the political masters. And I mean, I can feel the devastation. I'm tapping into it as I sit here talking about it. I was devastated. And so ultimately it took me to working with a coach of my own. And she asked me some powerful questions and gave me some powerful feedback. And I realized that coaching was a way in which I could probably find this joy and feel this feeling of being of service in a meaningful way. So with great courage and great trepidation, I stepped out of my work life. I resigned my role and I began to get certified and trained to be a coach. This was around the time that I was pregnant with my second child. And by the time he was born, I had made my decision. I didn't go back to work and I began to work in this field. It took me largely into the work that I do with adults because my context was always that of the business place or the workplace. And yet I realized right in this moment that the roots of this interest to work with children was alive and well when I took that job, feeling like I could serve these children who had autism.
That's an interesting point right there, that the roots for most of us are probably already there.
Yes.
I know for myself, I can relate to that completely. And I would even go so far to say that for everyone, the roots are there.
Yes.
The wisdom is already in us. The light is within us. The truth is within us. It's about uncovering it. So you went through these different stages and phases of work and career life to uncover the roots that were already existing.
That which was there from a very early age. I mean, I'm only tracing it back to a conscious awareness that I wanted to serve children. But I think that if we trace it back even further, it has to do with very early life experiences. So my parents divorced when I was very young, and I had to grow up really fast. At the age of 5, I had a 3-year-old brother, and I felt very responsible for him. And the parents were, my parents, I mean, I love them today. They're awesome people and everything is fine. But at that time, they were so caught up in their own pain and their own separation and all of the emotion and all of the disruption that goes along with that, that they probably were not as present for us as they would have been had they not been so preoccupied. And so I took on a lot of responsibility. I took on a feeling of having to grow up very, very quickly. I missed perhaps some of my childhood because I became the responsible one. And I think that my interest in children is rooted in that experience. So it may go back as far as, you know, the age of 2 or 1. And the funny thing is, my leadership work with adults, leaders, CEOs, whoever I'm working with at this moment, ultimately traces back to those early childhood experiences. So I think you're onto something. Like the roots are planted early and they run deep, and we may forget about them. We may not be aware that that's got something to do with why we're here. One of my teachers says, out of the wound comes the gift. Mm. And that's been a principle that's and a theme that has guided me in my own journey, but also guided me in my work with other humans.
Amazing. I just had a light bulb moment when you were speaking, because we were talking about this shift from working with adults to working with kids. And I saw your eyes light up. And in a moment, I thought, well, could it be that when you're working with those executives and CEOs, even now, because I know you're still doing that work now, could it be that part of you is tapping into their inner child to help them facilitate their own growth?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm picking that up, yeah. And I want to know more.
Yeah. Well, I think the other thing is that I have a mothering. So it's interesting. We're talking about children. We're talking about children having my own story, having to grow up so early. So who looks after kids? I mean, of course, in today's world, fathers and mothers both do. But there is a certain role associated with the name mother or the label mother that I think is very strong in me. And so when we were talking about my life purpose and the kind of evolution of it, what I've been tapping into recently is this mother energy that I have. And I think that it can apply to anybody. I mean, I can feel that mothering energy when I'm with someone who's my own age or someone who's older than me or with someone who's 12 or someone who's 6. It doesn't really have to be with a child. It is more the energy that I think I represent, or that my life is meant to represent, is that mothering energy. And so it doesn't mean I'm everybody's mother, and it doesn't mean that I'm going to tell everybody what to do and shape their lives, but I think it has to do with support, resources, resilience, empowerment. These are the things that I think a mother at her healthiest helps foster in her children. And so I actually came up with a new life purpose statement recently, and I don't know if I'm skipping over things too much here.
No, this is perfect.
Okay. I came up with a life purpose statement that is too big for any human to step into. And so I'm not claiming it as the statement, but it was something along these lines. I am the great mother who holds sacred space for the earth and all of God's children. And I sat with that as a statement that sort of came to me for a while. And then I was sitting with, I have my own guides and coaches and mentors and therapists and people who I work with energetically as well to help me, you know, in my journey, just as I help my clients in their journey. And what we realized together was what she helped me see was that it's not that I am the great mother, because I think the earth is the great mother. I think that's the great mother energy that is the great mother. But I am a great mother. I am a great mother. And I think I'm here on behalf of that mothering energy. And so while it's not my responsibility to hold the entire earth and all of the children on the earth, I do have a vision. And it has to do with children. And that could be anybody, because we're all children. We really are. We're all children in this great human family. We're all siblings. And so there's just a whole bunch of threads here that are converging. This notion of connection between humans, this notion that we're all part of the same human family, this notion that, well, what I want, actually it's a vision. And the vision that I have is that every child on the planet goes to sleep at night knowing they are loved, safe, and enough. And I don't know if that will ever happen in my lifetime, and that's okay, because a vision is meant to be big, right? It's meant to be aspirational and dreamlike. It creates an anchor and something to walk towards, something to help decide whether to say yes or no to things along the way. That, for me, is very present, very powerful, and very mobilizing. And so the work that I'm doing, all of it feels in alignment with that. And yet I know that at this moment, if I was to say, what would I rather do? How would I rather spend more of my time? I would rather now spend more of my time with kids. I just, that at this moment, that feels like the right thing. But the vision can be fulfilled no matter who I'm working with, because we are all children.
Absolutely. So I would love to know just a little bit more about how these power circle programs work. And then I think I have one last question for you before we say goodbye and close off this very first episode. There are so many nuggets of gold in here that I know I'm going to have you back. There is so much more to dig into and discover. And I can just tell that whoever listens to this program is either going to be taking notes or is going to find one little tidbit of information. Maybe it's part of the sort of mantras or life purpose statements that you've set out. Maybe something resonates with someone that's listening. And it's okay to state a really grand vision. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we might not be fully responsible for realizing it,
yes,
but we're one vessel.
Yes.
And so you're this human embodiment of the great mother. You're going to do the work that you can now.
Yes.
And inspire others to fall into that role as well. Maybe there are others listening that can completely resonate with what you're saying. Your vision is slightly different than my vision, and that's okay. That's good.
Yeah.
And when you shared the purpose statement of the Great Mother, I'm recalling last night we did a full moon ceremony at the studio, and a couple of us went down to the lake with two pieces of paper that we've been doing now every month. We go down to the lake, two pieces of paper. One paper, we write down everything that we're going to release and let go of that is no longer serving us. The other paper, we write down what we are ready to receive. Mm. And in the paper, or on the paper where I wrote what I'm ready to receive, I did an automatic writing exercise because I hadn't planned anything. And I'm just really open and surrendering lately to what the universe has to offer me. Yes. How can I be of service? Mm-hmm. And that's how all these different creative projects and visions are coming about through me, mm-hmm. not necessarily as me. I'm not identified with them.
Yeah.
And the very last two statements I wrote on that paper were so grand. So I'm thrilled that you mentioned that your vision was big, because as I wrote down these few words, my pen stopped and I thought, do I complete the sentence? No, I stopped there. And what I wrote, one of the sentences was, I am all. Hmm. And I thought I was going to finish that sentence with another thought of some sort. And yet it didn't want to be completed. It was complete. I am all. And then I went on to say, I am everything.
Yeah.
And I stood in that almost frightened, in fact, frightened by the thought of me, this human being, being everything. But it's not the humanness in me that's calling that up. It's the spirit. It's the soul in me. And it's not Donna that is all. It's this essence, this energetic essence that I am.
Yes.
And I live that allness through you and through all my friends and my family. So we can embody these grand visions and statements. It's okay.
Yeah.
Knowing that you're not alone. You're not going through this on your own.
Absolutely.
So that was a long-winded little segue, but yeah, back to the power circles, because I know you, this is your next evolution, so I want to know a little bit more about that, and before we say goodbye.
Okay. I love what you just said. We are, all of us are embodied, we're an embodiment of the divine. We're an embodiment of all that is. And it's funny that you said that. Those are the statements that came up. Almost everybody that I work with, including myself, has come up with some kind of statement like that, and mine as well. I am the Great Mother. And I believe we are embodied beings that represent all that there is, all the potential, all the possibility. And I believe the same is true about the kids. And so how this began was 2 years ago, one of the teachers at the school that our kids go to asked me to come and do a program with him for the kids. He's the physical education teacher at the school. And he said, you know, we do this health unit every year, but I've done enough about nutrition. Now I'd like to do something about leadership. So can you bring some of your leadership stuff and we'll do it with the kids? I said, sure. And I had no idea where this was going to go. It was just an experiment. I set aside a week of my time. I said, I'll come every day. We'll do every kid from grade 1 through 8 and we'll see what happens. I'll come to their gym class and we'll do this program. So we knew enough to get started on the first day. And the first day we showed them a video about Gandhi, and the essence of the video was an MC Yogi rap called Gandhi Rap, I think.
Yes.
You know it? Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a great song. And my kids love it. And they said, oh, you should play that video. So I queued up the video and played it. And we talked about what it is to be the change. Mm. And then we asked the kids, if you could change something in your life, what would you change? Now, when I ask that question of adults, they need overnight to process and journal and think about it and then come back the next day. Kids are not like that, I learned. One kid put up his hand immediately, so did a few others, and the one that I happened to call upon, he said, I would like to be who I really am, not who everybody else expects me to be. I would like to just be who I am. That's the change I'd like, and I'd like that for everybody. Mm. And it almost brought me to my knees because I was totally not expecting that. I didn't expect such a profound statement of truth, talk about, you know, speaking your truth or living your truth or your spoken truth. He was speaking the truth in that moment, which was that he already had an awareness that he wasn't enough just as he was, that he had to be something other than who he was. And it broke my heart that that was already true at the age of, I think he was 8 years old.
Wow.
Yes. And so the work continued from there. We figured out what to do on the next day and somehow built a week out of this. And then I came back last year and we did it again. This time we spread it over the whole school year. And so it's evolving into a program now that is really about how to create something that matters to you. And it comes from the same frame that I use with adults. When I'm working with people in organizations, I ask them the same question. What do you want to create that matters so much to you that you do anything to bring it into being? We ask that question, get a sense of what that is, and then we start working on bringing it into being. So it could be something in June that you'd like to do that you couldn't do in September if we're thinking of a school year. And that can be the basis for a very rich tapestry throughout the school year. I spend about 1 or 2 days a month at the school working with the kids during their gym class. So it's a very short amount of time. And last year we extended this through the whole school year. So we got to see what it was like to have them set a goal for June. And many of them met the goal and some of them didn't. And that wasn't really the point. The point was to learn what it's like to set an intention, to establish a goal or a vision for yourself, and then work towards it. But the other piece of it that's as powerful, and this is how we spent our time through the year, is examining what am I telling myself about that today? What am I telling myself, about other people, or about how the world works? And how is that story either helping me move towards my vision or inhibiting me and stopping me from moving towards that vision? And it seems like a simple set of two questions, vision and current reality. It's amazing what kind of magic and what kind of connection and what kind of uncovering and unfolding occurs when you simply ask those questions. And so at its simplest, it is about creating something, something that matters. But at its depth, it's about becoming empowered, becoming more resilient, identifying the stories that you're telling yourself, deciding whether they serve you or not, and choosing new ones. And so there's really no difference in working with kids than working with adults. I do exactly the same thing with leaders. But there's something about starting at a younger age that I think feels important right now. There are so many things that kids are facing. There's this utter disconnection with all the social media and all these devices that are meant to make us more connected actually keep us more distant from each other and more separated from each other. So kids are feeling alone. You talked about not knowing that you're not the only one. Sometimes they think they're the only one. In fact, often they do.
Absolutely.
And so do adults, by the way. So knowing they're not alone, creating more connection, more joining, less separation, more resilience, tapping into the power that they have within themselves, but also the power that, for example, the earth has to offer or spirit has to offer. You know, spirit offers us a lot of wisdom. The earth offers a lot of support. Actually working with them to be able to work with these energies more intentionally is part of the program. How to talk with each other, how to have a deeper conversation about the things that really matter instead of these superficial ones. You know, so many times we show up with a mask on and we look like we've got it all together and that everything's cool, but inside we're falling apart. Well, if we can talk about that, then we can create more connection. And so, and that will help us to be more powerful, to be able to move forward more powerfully. We're not in so much despair because we think we're alone in whatever it is we're experiencing. We know that, okay, others have this going on too. And that seems to bring a lot of comfort. And the kids have reported that. So I don't know, I'm talking a lot about the program. I'm very passionate about it because I believe that these children are inheriting this planet from us. And there's a lot of war. There's a lot of separation. There's a lot of distance. And we've forgotten as a species that we belong to the same human family. So really what's at the core of all of this for me is, can we remember that we're actually all brothers and sisters? And if we could, and if we could treat each other like we're part of the same tribe, because as a species we are, even if our skin color is different, even if our religion is different, we all want the same things. We want to be safe. We want to be happy. We want to live with joy. We want to connect with other human beings. We all want that. If we could remember that, how would this planet be different? How would our future be different? And our present as well. And so that's the bigger theme for me.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Shemaine, what an amazing way to leave off this very first episode. Oh my gosh. I am speechless. I have no words. That is it. And through this program and through the website and the other initiatives that you'll start to see through My Spoken Truth, you, as our listeners and my presenters and myself, we're going to really uncover what is it that is our truth as individuals, and that truth is what actually bands us together as a society, as a tribe, like you said. Wow. I am thrilled. So you've been listening to Shamin Sadek of Anjali Leadership and the Power Circles program. Shamin, where can they reach you? Is there an email or a website that can find you on?
Yes. Website is anjalileadership.com. So that's A-N-J-A-L-I leadership.com. And Anjali means heartfelt offering, in case you're wondering. It's a Sanskrit word.
Absolutely. So my heartfelt offering now is to place my two palms together in front of my heart space in Anjali Mudra and say thank you to Shamin Sadek. I've been your host, Donna Politis. Thank you so much for listening to episode one. And I'm going to have Shamin back for part two because there is so much to be uncovered. You've been listening to My Spoken Truth, and please check up for more information at myspokentruth.com. Thanks, everybody.